Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, August 16th, 2010. I'm Lee Robertus. In the news tonight, three North Central Idaho residents sue to prevent ConocoPhillips oil component shipments on U.S. Highway 12. Governor Otter supported 207 ExxonMobil component shipments in January 2009. Idaho Fish and Game wants to kill up to 50 wolves in the Lolo Pass area. There may be a Chinook season on the Clearwater River this year, and killer grizzly was stressed and had parasites. We'll have details on those and other stories on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robertus, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Three North Central Idaho business owners filed suit in district court in Lewiston today, seeking a restraining order against four giant ConocoPhillips oil component loads set to leave Lewiston and head over Lolo Pass. The lawsuit filed by married couple Linwood Laufey and Borg Hendrickson and a third person, Peter Grubb, contends the Idaho Department of Transportation violated its own rules in issuing permits for the loads. Laufey and Hendrickson own Lewis Clark Idaho Road Tours, Mountain Meadow Press, and Cedar Creek Creations, which are businesses that depend on tourism. One of the couple's daughters is a co-owner in Cedar Creek Creations. Grubb owns a Laxaw River rafting company called Row Excursions. The four ConocoPhillips shipments, which weigh up to 187 tons, are seen as a precursor to the ExxonMobil planned shipment of 207 giant Korean-made oil components up U.S. Highway 12 later this year on their way to the northeastern Alberta Kearl oil sand fields. The ExxonMobil loads weigh up to 290 tons apiece. The lawsuit says the shipments are a threat to public safety, would harm tourism, and put the Clearwater and Laxaw River corridors at risk. The lawsuit says, quote, whether Highway 12 will remain an outstanding tourist and recreation destination that provides jobs and revenues to the local economy, or become a congested industrial high and wide corridor for the convenience of the oil industry are matters of great concern to the plaintiffs and many others in the area. Crews have been working on two of the ConocoPhillips shipments at the Port of Lewiston, getting them ready for the trip up Lolo Pass. Opposition to the shipments has been growing steadily since May. The Lewiston Tribune reported Saturday that Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter pledged support for the giant ExxonMobil oil component loads back in January of last year, more than a year before the general public knew about the plan. Otter wrote to Port of Lewiston commissioners last year, quote, on behalf of the state of Idaho, I pledge our support and cooperation to enhance the development of this important new business opportunity. As the project progresses, we look forward to working with the Port of Lewiston, ExxonMobil, and Imperial Oil to facilitate this exciting project. Imperial Oil is an ExxonMobil subsidiary. Linwood Laufey of Kuski, who is one of the more vocal opponents of the loads and who was one of the three people who filed a lawsuit against the ConocoPhillips loads today, told the Spokesman Review he first heard about the ExxonMobil project in April of this year, and at that point he was told it was a done deal. The loads will go directly by Laufey's house on U.S. Highway 12. The Exxon loads will weigh up to 580,000 pounds each, be up to 24 feet wide and 30 feet tall, and be up to 225 feet long. Exxon says the loads will move only at night at speeds up to 30 miles per hour and will stop at turnouts every 15 minutes to let traffic go by and during the day. Governor Otter has defended the loads as recently as 10 days ago when he spoke in Pierce, saying the multiple axles will distribute loads so the tire pressure on the roads will be no more than that of a pickup truck. However, Laufey has written to the ITD and the governor saying they should be aware that the Federal Highway Administration considers axle weights rather than tire pressure as the determining factor for road damage. Laffey says axle weight for the ExxonMobil shipments will be nearly 37,000 pounds, which greatly exceeds Idaho's legal axle limit of 20,100 pounds. Furthermore, Laffey says since the Federal Highway Administration and the Washington Department of Transportation recognize that roadbed and bridge damage increases exponentially with weight, each of the 207 ExxonMobil loads will cause the same damage as 200,000 cars. In related news, Idaho Rivers United and Friends of the Clearwater have asked the Clearwater National Forest to do an environmental impact statement before allowing the loads through the federally designated Wild and Scenic River Corridor along U.S. Highway 12. The group says Congress has mandated that the Forest Service protect Wild and Scenic River Corridor's aesthetic, scenic, historic, archaeological, and scientific features. The letter to the agency says the shipments will degrade the corridor, which closely parallels the Lacsaw and Clearwater rivers. The letter says of the loads, quote, they will cause vibrations that could damage historic artifacts and national historic trails. Accidents during transport could result in the take of endangered fish. In addition, the transport of this equipment will indirectly cause further development of the Alberta tar sands, resulting in emissions of greenhouse gases as well as particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, nitrous oxide, and hazardous air pollutants benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, xylene, and formaldehyde. The two groups say transporting the loads violates the easement agreement between the Forest Service and the Idaho Department of Transportation. Clearwater Forest Supervisor Rick Brazel told the Lewiston Tribune the Forest Service has little say over the shipments. Brazel said, as long as they stay within their easement, there's nothing we can really do. He also said the Federal Highway Administration will likely be the agency that will handle the issue if the federal government becomes involved at all. Brazel told the paper, they are the lead agency for highways going through federal land. We have a national agreement with them. We act as their agents unless it's controversial, and then they become the lead agency. State and federal wildlife officials in Montana say the female grizzly bear who killed a camper in a campground near Cook City in late July was stressed and had parasites. Two other campers survived and were hospitalized in separate attacks the same night in the same campground by the 216-pound bear as she and her three cubs tore through tents in the campground just outside the boundary of Yellowstone National Park. Biologist and lead investigator Chris Servine of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the stress and parasites aren't enough to explain the bear's behavior. Servine said, we looked at food habits, body condition of the bear, past behaviors. None of those stand out as a reason that would indicate why this bear would do this. Investigators believe campers in the campground had adequately placed their food out of reach of bears as required when camping in grizzly country. The bear was captured the day after the July 28th attacks near the Soda Springs campground, and the cubs were also captured. The bear was euthanized, and the three cubs now live at a zoo in Billings. 48-year-old Kevin Kammer of Grand Rapids, Michigan, was killed by the adult female bear. The head of the Washington State Patrol Regional Call Center and two other state troopers are believed to have died in a house fire near Zilla, Washington, in Yakima County this morning. Firefighters were called by someone inside the house at 1:38 a.m., but there is no evidence that anyone in the house escaped the inferno. Those listed as presumed dead are Ann Miller Hewlett, who supervised 15 dispatchers at the Wenatchee 911 Center, her husband, Sunnyside-based Trooper Gary Miller, and Trooper Christopher Sperry, who was living in the couple's home with them. Patrol Lieutenant Jim Keitley told the Associated Press, we have no indication that this was a crime or a suspicious fire at all right now. Yakima fire officials and Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agents are investigating to try to find out the cause of the blaze. A transportation security supervisor pled guilty today to stealing $20,000 worth of jewelry and other items from checked luggage at SeaTac International Airport. 50-year-old Randy Pepper was fired in July 2009 after another TSA worker spotted him removing items from checked luggage, and the accusation was confirmed by investigators watching video surveillance footage. Pepper was later found to have pawned the items. Items stolen include gold diamond rings and sterling silver necklaces. Pepper faces up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 in fines, but sentencing guidelines for a case like this refer to 6 to 12-month sentences as appropriate. Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter says a review of the Education Assistance Act, signed by President Barack Obama last week, shows Idaho is eligible for $52 million to pay teachers and school personnel. Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luda had expressed some concern late last week that Idaho may not qualify for the new funding under the Education, Jobs, and Medicaid Assistance Act. The money will partially make up for the $128 million in state funding the legislature and the governor cut from the budget in April. The reduction represented 7.5% of the state schools budget. The federal money will be used to reduce furloughs and mitigate other school budget cuts enacted by local school boards for the upcoming school year. Spokane City Hall was closed after 3 p.m. today after a white powder came out of a package sent to City Hall. City spokesperson Marlene Feist released a statement saying the powder turned out to be, quote, cornstarch-based packaging product that came in with product we had ordered. The building was not evacuated, and the City Council went ahead with its Monday afternoon session, even though the public was not allowed inside the building. An Idaho aviator has won a delay in his discharge from the Air Force under the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Federal Judge Virginia A. Phillips said the military cannot discharge Lieutenant Colonel Victor Fehrenbach, who revealed he is gay after successfully defending himself from accusations that he raped a man in Boise, until she has had a chance to hold a full hearing on a request for an order to prevent his discharge. The Moscow City Council tonight will hold several public hearings. One will be on the city's fiscal year 2011 budget, one will be on a fee resolution, and a third will be on a rezone on Pullman Road. The proposed city budget for the next fiscal year is $47.1 million. The fee resolution under consideration is connected to the budget in that the city plans to increase water and utility fees, as well as parks and recreation fees, to help balance the budget. Under state code, a municipality must hold a public hearing for any fee increase greater than 5%. This year's proposed fee increases greater than 5% include the Community Development Department fees for lot division requests, the inspection fee for sewer main construction, and fees for installations of water meters. There are also some fees the city plans to reduce. For example, the City Council proposes standardizing certificate of compliance inspection fees at $52, whereas currently those fees range from $45 to $110 depending on the type of inspection required. Also, the city plans to reduce telecommunications zoning reviews from $815 to $150 and to reduce fence permit fees from $43 to $25. The public hearing on the Pullman Road rezone involves 6.5 acres between Line and Asbury Streets, currently zoned industrial and university. The rezone proposed by city staff would change the 11 lots in the area to a combination of motor business and multifamily residential. When the proposal went before the Planning and Zoning Commission in June, the commission received a number of public comments asking that the rail corridor between Lily and Asbury Streets be preserved as a pedestrian corridor. As a result, the Planning and Zoning Commission is asking the City Council to approve the rezone while giving consideration to making upgrades in the Llewellyn and First Street areas and requiring additional right-of-way for pedestrian access in the Lily and Asbury Street areas. The City Council tonight will also be asked to approve changes in the city's weed control ordinance. The proposed changes would set standards for those who ask for exemptions to the part of the ordinance prohibiting high grasses. Under the ordinance changes, the waivers will be granted to those who have a, quote, deliberate plan to maintain their yard, unquote, by growing non-traditional grasses as long as the growth does not violate the Idaho noxious weed law. The exemptions would be allowed in residential neighborhoods, but not in areas zoned commercial. The City Council will also be asked to accept a $2,500 Building Healthy Communities grant from the Home Depot Foundation for irrigation items needed for the new community garden plots on city-owned land near the Hamilton Indoor Recreation Center. Tonight's Moscow City Council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Idaho Fish and Game is taking public comment on a proposal to kill between 40 and 50 wolves this year in the Lolo hunting zone as a way of increasing elk populations. The deadline for comments is Monday, August 30th, after which Fish and Game will ask the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for permission to kill the wolves in the rugged, heavily timbered area near the Montana state line. The proposal says wolves are one of the major causes, if not the major cause, of the current population decline, and consequently, wolf predation is preventing cow elk abundance from reaching objectives. Fish and Game estimates there are 75 wolves in the Lolo zone and says they would like to reduce that number to between 20 and 30 wolves. Idaho Fish and Game says wolf populations in Idaho and Montana are designated as experimental and non-essential, which means they can be culled if it can be proved they are a major cause of elk, moose, and mule deer herd declines. A recent federal court decision putting the Northern Rockies wolf populations back on the endangered species list is expected to prevent Idaho and Montana from implementing public wolf hunting seasons this year. Cold water in the Clearwater River might entice enough hatchery Chinook upstream to allow a fall season on the Clearwater River between its mouth and the Memorial Bridge. A Chinook fishing season is already slated to open Wednesday, September 1st on the Snake River between Lewiston and the Hell's Canyon Dam. The Nez Perce tribe releases fall Chinook in the Snake, Salmon, and Clearwater rivers with the intent that they spawn in the wild. Wild Chinook are protected under the Endangered Species Act. A small quantity of them can be taken during the season for steelhead and hatchery Chinook, but once that number is reached, all fishing is closed. Hatchery Chinook are marked by having their adipose fins removed, the fin on the back close to the tail. Anglers may not keep fish with the fin intact, although Idaho Department of Fish and Game fisheries biologist Larry Barrett estimates that 10% of wild Chinook caught and released do not survive. Water from Dworshak Reservoir makes the Clearwater run high and cold until September and entices steelhead bound for the Snake River to enter the Clearwater River or to hang in the plume of the Clearwater before heading up the Snake to spawn. A Bonner County man and died and three were injured when a powerboat slammed into a rock embankment in Lake Ponderay Friday night, shortly before midnight. An investigation is still in progress, but the 18-foot powerboat was believed to be traveling at a high rate of speed. 44-year-old Jay Smith of the Odin Bay area died, and two others were hospitalized. It is unclear who was driving the boat. After completing only 8 miles of a proposed 23-mile trail system, the Pocatello City Council will hold public hearings on September 2nd and on the 16th on a proposal to complete the trail by acquiring land through eminent domain. Backers say the greenway system is needed to make the city a better place for cyclists. Washington State driver's license rules, which do not require an applicant to provide proof of citizenship, appeal to undocumented immigrants in the current climate of crackdown. Only Washington, New Mexico, and Utah do not require citizenship proof for a driver's license. Officials defend the process because people driving without licenses are likely not to carry insurance. Brian Zimmer, president of a Washington, D.C.-based group called the Coalition for a Secure Driver's License, said this is making these three states magnet states for fraudulent document workers, human traffickers, and alien smugglers. The Republican candidate for New Mexico governor, Susana Martinez, is promising to revoke all driver's licenses for immigrants in the 10 weeks following the approval of Arizona's strict immigration law. The state of Washington granted 3,200 licenses to people from outside the U.S., more than half the number issued in all of 2009. The driver of a vehicle who crossed over the center line of U.S. Highway 41 near Blanchard, killing a 46-year-old cyclist and injuring a 17-year-old girl running in a relay race, may face charges. The unidentified teen was running in the 185-mile Spokane to Sandpoint team foot race, and the cyclist, Patricia A. Lambie of Green Acres, was accompanying her as part of a support crew. Both were on the shoulder and wearing reflective gear. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it will be clear tonight with a low of 57 degrees, sunny tomorrow, high near 92. There will be a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight Tuesday night, otherwise partly cloudy, low 58. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms Wednesday during the day, and again Wednesday night before midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy, high 84, low 51. Sunny Thursday and Friday, highs 83 Thursday and 80 on Friday, low 45 Thursday night. Partly cloudy Friday night, low 47, and then a 20% chance of showers and mostly cloudy skies on Saturday and Saturday night, high 78 Saturday, low 47 Saturday night, and another 20% chance of showers on Sunday with a high of 73. Currently, fair skies, 88 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. for another KRFP Evening Report. And remember, every edition is available online at the Radio Free Moscow website. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at about 7:40. We'll have music Flashpoints is coming up at 6:40. We'll have music at about 7:40 right here on KRFP Moscow. News, music, entertainment through the evening and tomorrow all here at KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night.